I'd like to look at a few verses this morning in Psalms 73rd chapter. Psalm 73 and verse 1 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." Here he was losing his faith. He was losing his hold on God, his hope, his faith. He said, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." When he looked out and he saw the prosperity of the wicked, he saw things go their way. He saw things working out for them. And he looked in his own life and he saw trouble. And he saw difficulty, and it caused him to waver. He was losing his faith. He was losing his hope. In verse 17 it says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors." Verse 21 says, "Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So I'm glad the way this turned out. He took hold of God again. He got his faith. He went to the sanctuary, and somehow it was revealed to his heart and mind the true picture of what was happening. And he said, I felt like I was a beast. I just felt, Lord, I'm sorry for my ignorance. Sorry for me just judging after my eyes. But I'm thinking about this morning things that will cause, I believe the enemy tries hard to cause you and I to lose our faith, to lose our hope, our trust in the Lord. And I think about sometimes when we see negative things, especially when they come one right after another. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, Lord, where are you at? Where are you at? Please help me. And those things can, you know, they can hinder our faith. And I think of, I admire Job more and more. The negative things that he went through, the difficulties he went through. He didn't feel God. He couldn't see God. You know, there's times like that for us. There's times when we pray and we pray and we pray, and it's like God is not there. It's like He doesn't hear. But Job held on to his faith. He held on. He kept believing in the goodness of God. He didn't give up when his wife told him just curse God and die. He didn't do that. He kept holding on to the goodness of God. Even though all these things, he didn't know, he didn't sin. You know, it wasn't because of sin or anything that he had done in his life. I'm very grateful today that Job was a chosen vessel to encourage many, many generations. He didn't know that. But his life, his trust, he probably didn't feel like he had anything to hold on to. He was just there in his ashes. But he wasn't going to charge God foolishly, and he wasn't going to curse God. He kept doing what he knew to do. I thank the Lord today. One scripture said, I had fainted unless I saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. People have gone through great trials, great troubles, great difficulties. I think about Corrie Ten Boom going through the concentration camps, losing her sister, the suffering they went through. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes it's hard to justify. We have sometimes a sense of strong sense of justice, and things just don't look right. Things don't feel right to us. And we think it shouldn't be that way. But we want to hold on to God when we can't, when it seems like we can't get a hold of Him. I think about the words, I mentioned them before, I wrote them down in my Bible because it so impressed me, but they found in one of those concentration camps, etched into the wall, the words that says, I believe in the sun when it's not shining. Somehow God got those words to one of those Holocaust, and those words were probably an encouragement to others that went through that cell.
I believe in God when the sun, I believe in the sun when the sun's not shining. I believe in love when I'm all alone. And I believe in God when He is silent. I think probably all of us have been there at times when we felt, you know, you just seemed like you couldn't get, couldn't get an answer, couldn't lay hold on something. I think we probably all have been there at times. But it's times like that that we want to continue to believe, hold on to faith, hold on to the Scriptures. You know, our feelings is going to tell us it's not true. The devil's going to tell us that too. The devil's going to say it's a waste of time. Like the psalmist says, verily I've cleansed my hands in vain. I washed my hands in innocency. It's all vain. He was losing his faith and hope. Lord, encourage us today to continue to do the things that God wants us to do when we don't feel Him, we don't see Him, we don't know what's going on. The Lord wants us to, and I want to read that scripture in James, the 5th chapter. James chapter 5, in the 7th verse, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't, you know, sometimes we'll think, we often think of His coming as a second coming. But I don't believe that's always the situation. I believe sometimes it's just referring to the help of God. When He shows up on the scene, when He gives deliverance, when He gives help. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of a thing. You know, the Lord has a way of changing. And I believe that word salvation is not only a deliverance from sin, but I believe sometimes it's a deliverance from our trouble. It's a deliverance from difficulties, hardships. You know, the Lord knows that we're but grass. He could knock us all out if he wanted to. But after a while, you know, after a while, the Lord, it just seems like he comes on the scene and things begin to change. Sometimes it's imperceptible. Sometimes it's hard to perceive, but the Lord has a way of coming in, filling our hearts with courage, or he can turn the circumstances. He can manipulate things to help to show his mercy and his kindness and his goodness to us. I want to get another verse in the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. In the 31st verse, it said, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And I don't know really, what does that word sift mean? It's kind of like it's just shaken. I know wheat is ground to make flour. And, you know, you could just blow on it. It's just... And that's what Satan endeavors to do to us. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Important prayer. This is really instructional in these verses. You know, we talk about Peter's failure sometimes. But there was a prophecy that talked about Christ treading the winepress of the wrath of God alone. Peter wanted to stand up. And we can read in these verses. He said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." He had a determination. I believe Peter loved God. But it wasn't the will of God for someone to stand up with Jesus next to him to fight his battle. Wasn't the will of God. He was to tread the winepress of the wrath alone. And so he didn't have grace to stand up. He didn't have grace to fulfill the very words that he spoke. And he's verse 34, he said, "And I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt not thrice deny that thou knowest me." And that came to pass. Peter, when he got in that tight situation, he denied the Lord. He didn't have the grace of God. You know, the prayer of Jesus wasn't that Peter wouldn't fail. He knew he was going to fail. You know, I think sometimes the Lord knows we're going to fail too. And there's lessons in failures. There's things to learn in our failures. The Lord help us not to give up when we failed. The Lord's not finished yet. When we've made a failure, when we failed the grace of God, and we failed to be what we should have been, we did something wrong, we failed. God's not finished with the vessel. He wasn't finished with Peter. And he told Peter, he said, "When thou art converted,
We know Peter went out and wept bitterly. His heart was broken. He disappointed the Lord. He disappointed himself. But he said, when you're converted, in other words, when you get turned, when you get turned back around, when you get straightened up, strengthen your brethren. See, the Lord still had a purpose for him. Now I want to get 1 Peter, the first chapter, and the third verse. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, Peter lost his, he lost his hope. He was down. He lost. He saw the Lord die. He saw his hope. Jesus was so much a part of their life. Their dream was gone. Their future was gone. It looked gone. But he said, "He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, the Lord can begotten us again also to a lively hope by revealing, by helping, by showing Himself strong to us. He can renew our hope and our courage and our strength, and He can help us. But let's hold on to faith. Let's keep going on when we don't feel like. I appreciated the songs that we sang just before the service. Watch into prayer. And I mean to go right on. The Lord can help us. We'll continue to be patient in those times of trial, those times of trouble. Keep looking to God. And I believe He can help us and bring us out into a wealthy place, just like He did Job. I took Adina to Colorado Friday to be with Leah and the girls. I drove back by myself. That was a long 12 hours. I think the devil was in the car with me all 12 hours. I felt so discouraged. I felt down. I know I failed to meet the emotional needs of my children. I've mentioned that before. I got past Wichita. I saw a sign on the side of the road that said, "You're needed." You're needed. Your story is needed. Well, I took that with a grain of salt. I didn't feel a whole lot better. I got home, started working on the shop. This little dove made a nest in the corner of my shop. I was a little irritated at first. Then I got watching her. And I got close to her. I got Brother Philip's scissors lift so I could get... She's right on the top plate in the corner. And the nest... The eggs were actually in the air. The nest kind of extended from plate to plate across the corner, and the eggs were just in the air. And I don't have a fascia up or a
soffit, and so the breeze blows through, and that nest was just blowing. I mean, and those little eggs would move. And so when she was gone, I got up there and I put a 2x6 across the corner. It's a little white egg and one's a little tannish. Two little eggs in that nest. With all the noise, with me sawing, sawzall, I filled in the front part there. She stayed right there. I told her, I talked to her, I said, I won't hurt you. But all the noise and all the racket, you know, I thought maybe she had just tried to fly off or something. But she's got some two little eggs there. And so I got that 2x6 so the breeze can't blow the nest off, and it's just more secure for her. But I started thinking about the dove that alighted upon Jesus. And that was representative of the Holy Spirit. And it was like the Lord was speaking to me through that. And then I told her, I said, the Lord sent you here, didn't He? The Lord sent you here. I shouldn't be irritated. The Lord sent you here. Because she's abiding there. And I got to thinking about the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit through all of our failures, through all of our disappointments. He promised never to leave us or forsake us. He promised to help us. Anyway, that was a witness to my heart that the Lord wanted me to keep going on. Keep on. Keep moving on. So I just want to encourage us when we get in those times, we'll be patient. Don't be quick to just throw it off and say, I don't believe it. A lot of people have done that in life. I've had people tell me, oh, I've tried that. Didn't work for me. But I know there's difficulties in life that we face. I know there's troubles. And I know the Lord wants to see us through and help us through. I believe the Lord is praying that our faith wouldn't fail. And I think, you know, when Jesus told the disciples to go before Him, He said, and tell Peter. I've gotten so much good out of that. Tell Peter. A special message from the Lord to Peter that I still have a place for you. I still have a work, and I want you, when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. Don't you know when the disciples relayed that message to Peter? Don't you know that meant something to him? I'm very confident it did. It meant a lot to Peter. And here in this verse, he said, after Jesus resurrected, you know, the Lord has already resurrected and He's gone back to heaven. But I believe He can do something to resurrect our hope. He can do something to resurrect our faith, our courage, our strength. Our perseverance, it's not ours, it's His. But He can help us to take the next step. You know, sometimes it seems so hard to take just a step. But the Lord can help us. He's praying, I believe. I believe that's what He's part of His prayer now, is that our faith wouldn't fail. Appreciate your attention this morning.